Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. What's up, guys?
Hi, guys.
Welcome to season two.
Woohoo.
We are so happy to be back and bringing you more amazing young professionals in our community. And speaking of, we have a really, really cool young professional in the studio with us today.
I'm so excited.
What's up, Corinne?
Hey.
We have Corinne Leonard here from the Mud Hens. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here.
Yes.
Corinne basically is one of the coolest people we know in real life. And we're really excited to hear all of her perspectives from marketing and event planning and all of the wonderful things she does at the Mud Hens. So what's up? Let's just jump right in.
Oh, God. Okay.
So first, give us a little context on you and your background kind of growing up. Are you born and raised here? Let the listeners know.
Yes, I am a Toledo native. I grew up in Holland, to which I just found out is a village, not a city.
Yes, village.
The more we know. Yes, village.
Little town.
Yeah. Grew up here, went to Springfield High School, got my degree in marketing at the University of Toledo, minored in sustainability, and kind of the rest is history. Love traveling, obviously, but just found myself always kind of sticking around here in Toledo. That's a quick little elevator pitch about me.
No, we love that. So, you know, you said you studied marketing, and obviously that's your primary job that you work in now. And tell me kind of how you originally became interested in marketing as a whole.
Yeah, the path was very interesting. So I think like most 18-year-olds bounced around trying to find their avenue, I guess, for college. I actually gravitated towards the University of Toledo for their engineering college.
Okay.
Did an entire semester in mechanical engineering. Loved, hated it. Didn't feel like there was enough creative freedom. Kind of found myself stumbling into marketing because of that creative outlet. I would maybe call myself like an advocate in some, like in most ways, just for anything. I mean, I like just kind of spreading the word about where I got my latest purse or like, you know, my last like passion project.
Sure.
I just kind of love communicating that kind of stuff to people. So marketing kind of encompasses all of that. I felt like it was the perfect way to like package a message that I might care about, which is why I coupled it with sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
Very passionate about the environment and all that comes with that. But that minor actually taught me that it's more than just eco-friendly initiatives. It's economic and social equality too. And so I feel like that kind of can tailor into any of my business endeavors.
Yeah, that's a really interesting connection.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a great perspective to bring to the table when you're talking about marketing.
Absolutely.
Conversations.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of people who study marketing or say that they are good at marketing and have no clear training, but then you can kind of bring in that unique perspective of, I'm also trying to look at ways to keep things sustainable, which is really interesting.
Yes, and I think, obviously, we're seeing more and more that there's no business. You can't have growth without sustainability. Like, are these practices actually sustaining and standing to the test of time, basically? So yeah, I actually started out, I had my first little marketing gig with Big Brothers Big Sisters as their marketing coordinator. I managed their social media content and kind of worked a little bit with Communique. They did a little pro bono work for Big Brothers. So that was really cool to just kind of peek behind the curtain there with them. And then I just transitioned into event coordination. So I'm not necessarily on the marketing team now with the Mud Hens, but that fell into my lap. I coupled that with my college job at Stone Oak Country Club, where I worked all throughout college, running around, planning and like helping with these weddings, golf outings, you name it. That was a big, big part of my
Weddings
my
are
life.
Huge.
Yes.
That's a ton of planning and coordinating that goes into that.
Yes. And just seeing the background of all of that was super cool. So I feel like I kind of married just my skill set with that and then like my passion for marketing, and here I am now.
Married, no pun intended.
Yeah, right.
So tell me too, you know, the Big Brothers Big Sisters position, that was during school as well?
Yes, okay. That was a part-time internship. I think it was like my junior or senior year. And that taught me a lot. Obviously, it was kind of like a segue into this big girl world, I guess you could say. Going to an office, I guess just even like working with people and not on like a presentation.
Right.
Like that's just not something that people really prepare you for, like those different office dynamics. So yeah, it was, I mean, great experience overall. I really don't think that I could say I regret any job that I've had. So
was that the only kind of like internship style thing that you did during school, or did you have some other marketing gigs that you took on as well?
That was pretty much it. And then I worked at a lot, like Stone Oak Country Club took up a lot of my time. I was there like holidays, weekends, you know, making those tips.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, got to pay the bar tab off. No, but yeah, I split my time between those two and had one job. That's where I kind of met you guys, dare I say. Can I bring her up? The Toledo City Paper was a job that I had very, very briefly. It taught me that I did not love the sales aspect of marketing. So that was a nice learning experience for me. And then, yeah, the Mud Hens just really fell into my lap at the perfect time and revealed to me what it was that I really liked to do and kind of like showed me that little peak point between my two jobs.
Yeah, which talk to us about the Hens a little bit. Yeah. Like, what does your day today look like?
Oh, it's, this is like why I love it, because it's really not copy and paste. I'm lucky enough to be in a department where I can kind of get up and move and get the blood circulating. Some days on the scorchers when I have to move tables, not my favorite days. But honestly, I would say high level, it's a lot of strategic planning, collaborating with other departments. The fun part is that we all across the organization have to work together, obviously.
Of course.
But with this special events role that I have, I kind of consider myself like this third baby between the Mud Hens and the Walleye team. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like merging the two together, finding a way to bring non-sports enthusiasts to the arena or the ballpark. But basically working and meeting with marketing or our ticket team, operations, and just kind of strategic planning and just trying to figure out a process of which, once people arrive, how are people finding out about this event, post-event cleanup, what permits do we need to pull, all that logistical, sometimes mundane stuff. But
which it is interesting. I mean, before I started working at Epic Toledo, I had no idea all of, and I'm sure Libby, you share the sentiment doing events at Imagination Station. Mm-hmm. I had no idea all of the nitty-gritty specifics that go into that. You know, I mean, even just like staff assignments for cleanup, like making sure you have the right banners and logos and things like that. Yes. There's so much that goes into
and
it.
And even from venue to venue, it's like so different when you're thinking about events.
It's really, it's wild. Like, what wristbands are we using today?
Right.
Do they have ticket scanners? Are they charged? Oh, God. I don't know.
Yeah, it's absolutely never cut and dry.
No, it's not. But it's fun. It keeps me on my toes. I think the biggest thing, too, is that I'm constantly learning. If I'm not learning somewhere, it's time to go.
Always
but
agree.
Do you have a favorite part of your job or a favorite event that really sticks out to you that you've worked on?
Ooh, my favorite part is the creative freedom. Again, special events is not cut and dry with the Mud Hens. I think, too, I mean, we do a really good job of reinventing the wheel with our promotions and game and stuff, too. So having a hand in that is always fun. There's really no bad ideas, and I feel like a lot of people really do have a voice at the table. So just being able to contribute in that way is, like, amazing. My favorite event... I mean, I love our concerts, but I'm biased. I plan those. So.
Of course. You're allowed to be biased in this conversation.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. It's working in the entertainment industry, like, it's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I can totally pick a favorite. I will say, actually, I am going to backtrack. We introduced T-Town Thursdays, which is supposed to be this local initiative to highlight local artists, local businesses, on our Mud Crawler nights. It's like an ode to Toledo.
Oh, cool.
And I decided to do a sustainability night, go figure, because I love sustainability. And that was really cool. That was on June 26th, and I got to work with Keeping Toledo Lucas County Beautiful. They brought out volunteers, and we recycled, I think, like 22 pounds of plastics and, aluminum throughout the game. And just that opened the door. I mean, I've already been talking with Adam Cassie about, like, how we can continue to bring these people out and like recycle throughout the entire season rather than just one night a year. So well, that's probably my favorite.
And I guess I was there for that game and I was so excited to see everybody walking around and they were telling everybody what they were doing there and encouraging other people to get involved. It was a really cool initiative. Yeah. I'm curious though, that's the perfect segue into my next question, which is kind of with your sustainability interest, how do you feel like other than obviously what you've mentioned with Keep Toledo Lucas County Beautiful, how do you feel that you are working to add more sustainability initiatives or efforts within your department or trying to branch out into other departments as well?
Aside from bombarding my coworkers with random ideas, I'll be completely honest, it's hard. The Mud Hens have been around long before I was probably like even a preconceived thought. So it's like these... They have, like, a certain systems. They're operating this million-dollar facility. There's a lot of things that can't just happen at the flip of a switch. These things have to be talked through, go up the ladder, and what have you. But something like this was, like, a really – I genuinely think it was a really good way to open the door to that conversation. It got the right people involved. It was executed well, I think, that first year. And I'm just going to try to keep chipping away and – doing small stuff like that if we can.
Yeah,
every little bit counts. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So obviously the Mud Hens are such a big community staple for us and, you know, for sports fans and not. And I think we can all kind of feel the team's impact on the community and, you know, gives us something to come together and all cheer for. So I'm curious to know how your perspective has changed since before working with them versus now and, you know, specifically on community impact.
Yeah. So this is funny, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I say it to everyone off the record, but it'll be on the record now. When I interviewed for this job, I don't have a sports management degree. I really just came with, you know, my marketing and my Stone Oak experience, but I was very candid in the sense that I said I don't really like baseball. I actually despise it. I thought, I know.
What?
Right? And so working here, obviously I have this newfound love for the game. I actually can comprehend what's going on. I understand it. And I mean, I think I got the job because I was coming at it from the perspective of it doesn't need to just be about the baseball game. It really is a pivotal way for people to come together and interact with one another. Same with hockey. Like, it's a common ground. Economic status, whatever, doesn't matter. And I think that's super important for people to have, like, a common place to interact and mingle. I know we're trying to see that a lot with, like, these different green spaces and stuff, too. I think, like, a neutral zone is really important in a community. But I think we can always do more. I think that's something that we're trying to do and just try to collaborate with a few more businesses in the area. I think that's huge. We actually just hired a community engagement coordinator. So that's like a step in the right direction where we can kind of touch a few other businesses that we might not be working with already.
Sure.
And so I'm curious, you know, I like to ask a couple of like silly questions based on people's professions. I'm curious from your perspective how you would market or plan an event if, let's say, your higher ups came to you and said, hey, Corinne, we really want to have live hens at the Mud Hens. We just want them roaming around. Yeah. We want them hanging out with people. Oh, how are you going to plan that event? How are you going to market that event?
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, first thing that comes to mind, our concert series is called Hensville Live.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I would have to do a spin on that, like, live hens. Live hens in Hensville or something? No, I don't know. I mean, we have, like, entertained, any possible idea. Like, that's been brought up before, believe it or not. Like, having, like, a petting zoo or something there. So
where's Joe Napoli? Take notes.
Yeah, right. I don't know what I would do, actually. That's crazy. But it would definitely be in Hensville Park. It would probably be petting zoo style. We'd have music. Obviously, the band has to be dressed in, you know, feathers and a beak of some sort. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everyone has to come in feathers and a beak.
Yes.
I know, right?
Mandatory.
Okay, so get on planning this. Yeah. Libby and I will be there.
BYOB, bring your own boa.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So, you know, obviously you are at this job and I don't know, and I'm sure you don't know either, whether or not this will be a job for a long-term position for you. But if you are looking at the progression of the mud hens and the walleye, you know, in the short term and the long term, mm-hmm. where do you hope to see these teams and these organizations go in the coming years?
Yeah, I really hope to see them continue to grow their community impact. Obviously, COVID, like, the teams took a huge, not a huge hit, I would say, but, like, it kind of made my area of special events obsolete. It wasn't right. needed. I actually don't even remember if how they did the whole game scenario thing. I think people had to sit every other seat or something, maybe. But nevertheless, I think working even just, like, outside of our sponsors and just kind of bridging the gap with some of our community partners would be huge. And having these awareness nights, I mean, we do have a few of them already, and we do great at those as is, but even just expanding that, there's so many that just go overlooked, and I think that we have the perfect platform to highlight those.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
So obviously, we know you're very involved with the Mud Hens, but we know you're also very involved outside. So talk to us a little bit about your involvement with the Rotary Act and yeah. the Toledo Rotary.
So I...
And just in case the listeners don't know, tell them what Rotary Act is.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Great, yeah. So Rotary Act is like the daughter son of Toledo Rotary, basically. It's a young professionals organization that focuses on service in the community. That's why we kind of substituted Rotary with Rotary Act, kind of putting our money where our mouth is, essentially, and actually using our actions to invest in the community. And it's basically, I mean, it's kind of redefining the term young professional as well. It's open to all ages, all career backgrounds, and it's really just a common ground for people to kind of bounce ideas off of each other and, dare I say, vibe.
Yes.
but I joined last March, I believe, and then was quickly nominated for the board as their recruitment director. That was a new position that we were trying out last year. It was an extension of the membership position just to kind of help boost memberships, obviously. And then this year, I was renominated for public relations. So I'm now the PR director of
Rotary
Act this year.
Do you even have a marketing background?
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you love most about being a part of Rotary Act?
Genuinely, the people. I feel like my entire social circle and confidence has shifted since joining. I mean, I would honestly accredit like meeting you two through that, just all the different events and the mutuals. It's just been kind of a roller coaster. And then by default, I actually, joined Epic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm part of the Epic mentorship program, which has been phenomenal. Shout out Riley. but yeah, the people for sure.
Well, and I think it's cool because there are, I mean, Rotary Act and Epic Toledo are not the only young professional groups that exist in our area, but I think it's really cool to see that we're all kind of taking our RYP groups as a collaboration effort
yes.
rather than a competitive effort.
Yes.
Because I think Toledo as a whole is like that too. You know, we always try to make room for budding entrepreneurs and new businesses and never say, okay, there's an oversaturation of this.
Yeah,
like, why don't we calm
point.
Down? So I think it's really cool to see the ways that Rotary Act has grown and watching your involvement in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the ways that we can connect our YP groups through Epic and Rotary Act. It's really cool.
No, it is. It is.
And so what else are you involved in within the community? I know you stay busy.
Yes, I stay busy. I think I could be a lot better at volunteering my time for sure. Like, honestly, like, I just saw we're planting new trees in our parking lot. And so I've been walking past them for the last 2 days. And I'm like, I should do something. I see the same sweet old lady like picking up litter and like cleaning off like the mulch and stuff every day.
Aww.
And just simple stuff like that that I could spare like 2 hours on a Saturday morning for. I would really like to be better at that. What I'm currently doing, I guess I would consider my social life is just
absolutely
yeah, probably what I'm doing for the community. being a menace to the city of Toledo.
But I think you're somebody who both Libby and I have cited as a person who uses their platform to highlight what's cool about Toledo. I mean, yeah. The three of us see each other all the time at little Toledo influencer events, mm-hmm. or, you know, new businesses will open up and we're all there at the opening trying to promote it on our own social medias. I think that in and of itself is a community involvement in a way that you're finding to volunteer your platform and your time to help the betterment of our community, which is really cool.
And also exercising those marketing muscles.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, you guys package that way better than me. I think, maybe investing into, like, the new businesses, attending these new events, doing some market research.
Yeah, sure. let's all meet and do some market research.
Yes.
So I'm curious, too, what is something or some place in Toledo that you think maybe the public perception should shift, somewhere cool that you found.
And that you could maybe market to change the perception.
Oh, God, I'm going to have to think. I don't know why the first place that comes to mind is, like, Switchboard. I feel like that's, like, such a cool little place.
But tell me why you picked that. Like, why is that the one that you would want to change?
Honestly, because I don't feel like people, one, either know what it is to its full extent. Like, it's not only a bar, it's connected to an amazing record store, but it's also like an event space and people can use it in varying ways. I mean, it's right off of Monroe. It highlights really cool artists from time to time, which I think is another area that I'd like to see invested in a little bit more. I mean, that's the first one.
I love that.
I love that. Go answer.
Okay. Well, and I mean, especially, like, we've all been there and we've seen each other there. And I think it's definitely a really cool place that's, you know, off the map, but shouldn't be because it's right in the middle of the map.
It is. It really is. And, it's just, like, it's the cutest place. And I always feel just so zen there.
I love that. And finally, we love to wrap up the more professional side of the podcast by asking you to give some advice to other young professionals who might be in a similar situation as you.
My biggest piece of advice to myself at this moment in time, because I am constantly changing my mind about everything, is to genuinely stay present and kind of let things come to you. It's cliche, but, like, enjoy where you're at. Don't try to force anything. The Mud Hens job fell into my lap, essentially. I obviously had to apply and interview and do all that stuff, but it really was right time, right place. I didn't force anything, and the rest is history. So just kind of enjoy and just be. Control what you can control and let the rest roll off.
I love that.
That's great.
I love that. And you didn't think we would kick off season two without a Roman Empire.
Absolutely not.
It's time to dive in. And I think I feel like putting Libby on the spot today to go
first. Yes. Okay. My real Roman Empire is Nicolandria from Love Island, but we do not have to have that conversation today. My Roman Empire is this just came out that Olivia Rodrigo, everyone's favorite pop star, is been on tour with her Guts album, and she actually paid for every single person on the crew to have therapy throughout, which I think is such an amazing practice. And, you know, whether they use it or not, it was still available to them. And I think that's really, like, respectful for a fellow, you know, young person in the industry.
We talk a lot about how people don't always practice what they preach about mental health. Like, especially, I think celebrities will use their platform a lot of times to, you know, preach, you know, take care of your mental health and make sure that you're seeking therapy and seeking help and whatever. But I love that she's actually backing it up by doing something for her people, you know?
Especially amazing. Touring, like, you're going all over, doing all these things.
Yeah.
Like, living crazy nights every night. So it's like, I love that that's available, and I hope others take note.
I mean, I do one weekend of community theater and I'm begging for therapy. So I'm like, please, please. That's so great. I love that.
That's hilarious.
Corinne, would you like to share yours next?
Oh, God. Mine is not as revolutionary, but today I had a Chick-fil-A chicken tender. That changed my life single-handedly. Dare I say better than the nugget?
Whoa. Yeah. Okay, so first time having the tenders.
No.
This particular
was it one tender in particular?
This particular tender was phenomenal, and it reminded me that I love the chicken tenders more than the.
Please describe it to me in great detail.
All I can say is that it really it takes the word tender to a whole nother level. Like, the tenders are tender.
Oh, they were tender.
How many times can I say tender on the
podcast? Yeah, I know. Listeners, take
one
a count.
One more, please.
Tender.
I love that.
Yeah, simple
well,
Roman.
My Roman Empire is emotionally tender.
Okay.
And I had been putting off, I'm a huge A24 fan, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, A24, the movie studio, like, I love A24.
Trust me, we have the hot dog fingers.
Oh, we have the Everything Everywhere All at Once hot dog fingers. We have all of the Euphoria scripts. I mean, I'm on their little shop. I'm like, what can I buy? But I had been
putting off. Sorry, I had to back you up really quick.
I know, thanks. Put me on blast. On Main is crazy. I had been putting off watching their film, I Saw the TV Glow, for so long. Like, it's been out. I mean, it hasn't been out for that long. It's only been probably about a year. Mm-hmm. But I had been putting it off for so long because I knew it was going to emotionally devastate me. I knew nothing about the plot because I do this with movies where I go in totally
blind,
knowing nothing.
This
yes.
is the best way.
And so I knew nothing about the plot. All I knew was who was in it. I knew it was visually stunning based on the trailer.
Yeah.
And then I also knew that it had some pretty intense queer themes.
Okay.
So obviously with that movie coming out, I knew that I was going to love it. But I also had a weird feeling that it was going to devastate me and make me, you know, question all of my life decisions and everything. Mm-hmm. So I waited and I waited. And then finally, it was a couple nights before my 25th birthday. And I was like, you know what? The quarter life crisis has set in. It's time for me to watch this movie.
Yes.
And so I made my girlfriend watch it with me. We sat down. We were watching this movie, and I mean, maybe 5 minutes into it, I'm weeping, just weeping. And I'll tell you, I mean, the best way I can explain the plot without giving anything away is that a seventh grader meets a freshman in high school, and she starts telling him about this TV show that she loves, and he's seen previews for it and is interested in it, and then he starts watching it with her, mm-hmm. and it makes him question his entire reality. Basically,
is
the best way I can explain it. So as somebody who often watches television to question their entire reality, watching that play out with a fictional character in a movie was just a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. But I will say, like, there are some, as mentioned, really intense queer storylines, very, very emotional for people who have gone through those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not just coming out, but also I think a huge theme is not feeling like you are in the right body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are a lot of people, especially we talk about elevating the trans community, I think there are a lot of people who have felt in their lives that they were born into the wrong body. And
mm-hmm.
so watching that, I mean, I'm getting choked up just talking about it right now. Like, it is, it's so devastating, but I think what makes it really cool and what I think A24 does a great job across the board with their films is that it's not just a movie made for people who have gone through those experiences. It's also a movie made for anybody who has questioned their identity, questioned their life, their choices. I think it's a very reachable movie, and I loved it, and I would recommend it to literally everyone, if not for the plot, just for the vibes alone. The vibes alone. And it's billed as a horror fantasy, but don't let that turn you off. It is not scary at all. I love horror movies, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend's the biggest scaredy cat, and she watched the whole thing and was not scared at all. So,
what streaming platform?
I believe it's on Prime.
Okay.
I think
so
it's on
Prime. Watching it tonight.
Yeah, real. Real. And we'll have to have a, you know, follow up.
Yes.
What does everyone think?
We'll
but
yeah.
Yes, I saw the TV Glow. Fantastic film. A24, you never miss. You never miss.
So true.
Love them.
Well, anyway, Corinne.
Guys,
thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
We are so happy
to
talk to you and learn more about your experiences. Yes. And thank you for everything that you're doing for the Toledo community.
Thank you guys for creating this platform for people. Honestly, you guys amaze me.
Thanks.
want to thank Corinne Leonard, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incomparable Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE, voices around us.